Praise the Lord. It's good once again to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to know Him. Amen. It is good to know Him. Not just to know of Him, but to actually know Him through a free pardon of sin. It's just amazing. And it, you know, you look around and you see miracle after miracle. And I'll tell you, church, if you're not looking for miracles, you won't see them. But if you're looking for them, they're there. It's a miracle that I was able to wake up this morning. That He chose to give me breath and to give me life. It's a miracle that almost 20 years ago, He saved my soul. So many miracles that we can see if we'll just open our eyes to it. And just receive them and realize and understand that they are there and they are before us. But that's not what we're going to preach about this morning. The message that the Lord gave me for this morning is, this is not my vision. This is not my vision. And you can turn with me, if you would, to 2 Samuel, the 9th chapter. And I don't know about anybody else here. I can't speak for anybody else here. But I know for me that there's been times in my Christian walk and there were even times in my life when I was lost that I would more or less come to my senses or wake up and think within myself, this is not what I envisioned my life being. This is not how I envisioned that this would go. This is not the direction that I envisioned for me. All right? I'm sure that all of us have probably said those words to ourselves at some time or another. And what I, the important thing that I want to point out to us this morning is, don't let our situations dictate who we are. Because it doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what your circumstance is. It doesn't matter what your situation is. You're still a child of God. Yep. And that doesn't change. It doesn't change. Because He loves us so much. In 2 Samuel, the 9th chapter, we're going to start with our first point and what we want to get to. And we'll round this up. We've got three different individuals that we want to talk about this morning. And I've preached on all three of them at different times and you know, spent time studying on all of them at different times. But God just put this together for me last night. I struggled all day yesterday, church, studying and trying to figure out what God wanted, and it seemed like there was just nothing. And I'm sure Terry and maybe Scott have probably been through those times before where you feel like, man, maybe somebody else is supposed to preach tomorrow. I don't know. And then at the last minute, He just started bombarding me with these scriptures. But in 2 Samuel, in chapter 9, verses 1 through 6, He said, "And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, Behold thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" You may be seated. Now we see here that the scriptures point out to us that Mephibosheth was the son of Jonathan and the grandson of Saul. And according to the way that things go back then, should have been rightfully the rightful heir to the throne. That ain't how God had it set up, is it? He had it set up differently. He had it set up to where David would be the king. I don't see in here where Mephibosheth was bitter about it. But I'm sure that there were times that Mephibosheth probably thought, "How did I get here? How did I get to this place? How did I become lame in my feet and wind up down here in Lodabar and have nothing when I'm really the rightful heir to the throne?" Right? How did I get here? How did I wind up in this place? And like I said, I've had situations, even the last couple of weeks, where I said, "How did I get to this place? How did I wind up here? How did things get this far out of whack?" Right? How did I get in the middle of this mess? How many of you ever said this? "What did I do to deserve this?" And I'm sure that Mephibosheth thought, "What did I do to deserve this?" He didn't do anything. It was just something that happened. He was dropped as a child. His caretaker was running, feared for their life, and dropped him and made him, he was lame in both feet. I want you to realize something and understand something. David didn't say, "Send for him, and if he can get here, then we'll take care of him. If he can find a way to make it here, we'll take care of him." That ain't what the Bible says. The Bible said that David told him, "Go and fetch him. Go and get him and physically bring him to me." Right? And that's what the Bible tells us to do, right? "Go ye out and compel them." Fetch them. Amen? Bring them in. Whatever means it takes, get them here. Don't just go and tell them, "Well, if you can make it to church, you'll get something out of it." Find a way to get them to church. Right? And that's how the Holy Ghost works. God tells the Holy Ghost, "Go and fetch that one." He fetched me one day. Whew. He fetched me. He came and got me. He took me by the scruff of the neck. And he drug me to an altar. And there I met the Lord Jesus Christ. Whew. See, I was battered, church. I was broken. I was lame, if you will, spiritually. Now, if you read on in this scripture, it tells how David took him and set him at the table. And there was a reason for that. It's because when you're sitting at the table, nobody can understand, nobody realizes, nobody sees your deficiency. Right? God set me at the table some 20 years ago. And y'all can't see the deficiencies that I had. Y'all can't see the things that were broken in me. Why? Because he set me at the table and he made a change. He covered up. He covered up everything that was uncommon or unnatural or unreal about me or that was ungodly about me. He covered all those things up. And just as Mephibosheth, when he would sit at that table, you wouldn't see his lame feet, but you would just see a man sitting upright at a table. The same goes with me this morning. When you see me, you don't see my lame things, but you see the presence of God. You see his blood. Because his blood is what changed me. His blood is what covered up all my imperfections, all my ungodly deeds. I don't have to sit, I don't have to be worried about what was in the past or what I did back then. And see, Mephibosheth, when he was sitting at that table, he didn't have to worry about what his feet were like or what people were going to think about him. All he had to do was sit upright at the table and eat of the king's table. I'm glad that he saved me. I'm glad that he sat me at the table. I'm glad he sent the Holy Ghost and said, go fetch him. It's time. It's time. All this was done because of a covenant that David made with Jonathan. And church, you are who you are today because of a covenant that God made. He chose us, church. He chose every one of us. And sometimes we open our eyes and say, how did we get in this place? How did this happen? And what did I do to deserve this? Mephibosheth didn't do anything wrong. He didn't deserve to be lame in his feet. His circumstance and his situation that he was in was not of his fault. Do we realize that this morning? It wasn't his fault. He didn't do anything to deserve that. Let's go to the second one. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 41 through 46. Very familiar scripture, but I don't want to focus on Elijah here. I want to focus on the servant for a moment. 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 41 through 46 says, and Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. And said to his servant, go up now, look towards the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Now, I don't know about you all, but I can just imagine this servant going up and down that hill. Probably, you know, not even looking up at the sky, right? Because he's probably thinking the same thing a lot of us think when God sends us to do things. He's probably kicking rocks and saying, how did I get here? Man, why couldn't I have been somebody else's servant? Why I got to keep going up and down this hill? There ain't nothing up there. And seventh time he's going up that hill. Been here six times already. Ain't nothing different. I don't know what he expects. Ought not to even go. Ain't even worth the trouble going up his hill. What's that? Bible says it was just the size of a hand. It wasn't huge, church. Now it became huge, right? Sometimes we dismiss things because they look so small to us. Maybe I am going to preach a little bit about blessings and miracles. Maybe sometimes we dismiss the miracles because they look so small to us. It don't look like much to start out. But if we'll put our hope and our confidence in that small thing, as we can see, it become a great thing. All right? Church, I've been in that place. I've been there where God said, go and do this. And I think, why? I've gone there before and I didn't get anything out of it. Why? God, you told me to do this before and it really didn't work out the way that I thought that it should. Nobody else has been there, right? It's just me. Just the pastor. He's always by himself in these kind of things, you know. He ain't got nobody supporting him or backing him up. He's the only one that's ever been there. I don't think so. There have been times in my Christian life. I'm talking my Christian life, church, where he tell me to do something and I question, why, God? Why would I do this? I'll give you an example. When he said that I was going to pastor this church, I said, why, God? Not because of anything against you all, but because of things against me. Right? My thought was, I'm not worthy. My thought was, I'm incapable. I don't have the ability, and I still don't. But you know what? He does. He does. He has the ability. And church, it doesn't matter how many times he's told you, go and do this. It doesn't matter how many times he sent you to that lost loved one that you have, and you think that's going to be the same response every time. Every time I go, it's the same thing. Nothing ever changes. Their response is always the same. Keep going until there's a change. Because eventually there will be a change. Right? Either there will be a change in them or God will change you and tell you to quit going. But until he tells you to quit going, keep going. Right? Keep going up the hill. Even when you think there's not going to be anything at the top of the hill, just keep on going. Walk up the hill with a smile on your face saying, maybe this time. Right? Don't let your circumstance or your situation dictate who you are. Be who you are regardless of your circumstance or your situation. You are a child of God. Recognize it, understand it, and accept it. Sometimes we have trouble accepting that we're a child of God. Not because we don't want to be a child of God, but because we think we're unworthy of being a child of God. Church, we got to push that mindset away. We got to get out of that way of thinking and begin to realize and understand if we were worth Him sending His Son, my God, we're worth something. He didn't just do it just for the fun of it. We're worth something to Him. We're important to Him. We matter to Him. Every circumstance, every situation that we are in our life is important to Him. It was important to Him that Mephibosheth get rewarded for the life that he lived. God brought it to David's mind. You made a covenant. It was important to God that this servant see a miracle that day so that he wouldn't be discouraged, that he wouldn't be downcast, but that he would be encouraged. You might not see it that way, but that's the way I choose to see it this morning. Another example. In Luke 15:11-32. So we've seen already so far, we've seen how Mephibosheth, going through his situation, his circumstance, we saw that was not of his control. I believe we all agree to that. We see how Elisha's servant was going through his situation or his circumstance because of who he was, because he was a servant to a prophet. Right? You might say this morning, his circumstance didn't look like that big of a deal to me. Well, you wasn't in the circumstance. Amen? It might not be a big deal to you. But I've climbed some hills. Out hunting. I tell you, I don't like climbing. And you know, Terry, he's always saying, come on, let's go down here. And scout around down here. And I say, no, you go ahead. Because see, there's something I learned about going down. Eventually, you got to come back up. And I don't mind going down, but I don't like coming up. So maybe to y'all it ain't a big deal, but to me this would have been a big deal. Walk up and down that hill 7 times. No, thank you. I'm fine right here. I'll wait. You'll be back eventually. If not, I know where the car is. Or in this case, I know where the chariot is. All right? But it may not seem like a big deal to you. But you know what? Your circumstance is a big deal to you, even if it's not to anybody else. Even if it seems like a small thing, like just walking up and down a hill 7 times. Some of us, that wouldn't bother. But there are some times in people's lives that would be a burden. Right? And it's important that we not look at people and say, grow up and get over it. It's such a little petty thing, and you're just letting it get you down. Well, wait till the next time you're going through something. Right? So it's important that we're sympathetic to what a person's going through, no matter how small it looks to us. Aren't you glad that God is patient with us and doesn't look at it and look at us and say, good grief. Will you quit being a baby? Grow up and act your age. You've been in this way an awful long time and you're coming to me with this little thing? He's not like that at all. It doesn't matter what your thing is. He's the same. And he wants to know about it. Because he cares about it. In Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32, very familiar scripture. Everybody knows it. Everybody's heard it. Everybody's heard me preach it probably a half a dozen times. The prodigal son. And he said, a certain man had 2 sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. And he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and killed it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now the eldest son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which have devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Now we see here another example of somebody who was in a situation that they just didn't understand how they got there. Now the difference about this person and the other two people is, this person put himself in the situation. He stuck himself there. It wasn't nobody's fault. He didn't have anybody else to blame. It was his fault that he was in the situation he was. It was his fault that he was in the place that he was. But yet he still came to his senses and thought, you know what? I don't have to be here. Why? Why am I here? How did I wind up here? Everything started out so good. Everything seemed pleasant. I'm going to tell you something this morning, church. The devil will make sin look good to you. And it'll start out pleasant for you. He'll make everything seem to just fall in place for you. Seems like everything's going fine for you. Especially you young people, listen up this morning. He'll make it look pretty to you. He'll dress it up for you. Make it look good. Make it look fancy. Make it look sharp. And you'll just love it to death. But eventually, it'll turn awry. It's going to get bad and it's going to get ugly. The devil, what he wants you to see is, he wants you to see the good times that everybody thinks they're having out partying and doing drugs and drinking alcohol. Because when you see it on TV, they don't make it look like a bad thing. They make it look like everybody's having a grand old time. But what they don't show you is that wife or that husband at home that's hurting because their husband or their wife is a drug addict or an alcoholic. They don't show you the children that are home hungry because mom or dad is out spending all their money on drugs and alcohol. They don't show you the lives that are destroyed because of a drunk driver hit a family or killed somebody. They don't show you all those things. What they want to show you is the pretty side of sin. But I'm going to tell you this morning, there's an ugly side to sin. It's a very ugly thing. And I don't just want to tell you this morning that sin is only going to get you bad things when you die and you go to hell. I'm going to tell you it'll bring you heartache and pain while you're on this side. It's important that we understand that and that we realize that. People hurt because of sin. People are in torment because of sin. Not just when they go to hell, but while they're still alive. I know. I was there. And one day I came to my senses. I thought, why am I here? How did I get here? And why am I staying here? What am I doing? What am I thinking? I realized I didn't have to be there. I didn't have to be in that torment. Just like the prodigal son, when he realized, I don't have to be here. I could go to my father's house and be a servant. He was happy with just that, church. He was happy with just the thought of just going back and being a servant. But see, no matter what had happened, no matter where he'd been, no matter what he had done, one thing was still constant in that boy's life. He was still the Father's Son. And I'll tell you this morning, it doesn't matter what your circumstance is, what your situation is, what you're going through this morning, there's one constant. You're still His child. And He still loves you this morning. He still cares about you. Even though sometimes it don't look like it. I'm sure there was many times when Job opened his eyes and thought, man, what have I done? Why has God left me? Why has He given up on me? I'm sure when he's laying there with boils all over his body and thinks about, I've lost all my children, I've lost all my livestock, it seems like everything is gone. My wife is telling me, just die. Just curse God and die. Now, I've heard a lot of people say, well, you know what, that woman, she just had it rough. You have to understand, Brother Rob. You know, she was just trying to be sympathetic. Well, I would hope that when I'm laying on my bed sick, that somebody wouldn't come to me and be sympathetic and say, sure, it would be easier for me if you'd just go ahead and die. Boy, it'd make my life a whole lot easier. Amen? I would hope that Debbie wouldn't come in there and say, why don't you just give up? Just give up and die, Robbie. There's no use. Man, I can collect the insurance money. The bills would be paid. And I wouldn't have to sit here and be in torment watching you suffer. Well, it ain't easy on this side neither, sister. I'm sure there were many times where he thought, man. Then Terry, Rick, and Rick comes in. Says, you must be sinning. Have to go through all you're going through. Man, what'd you do wrong, Rob? I'm sure there were times when Job thought, man, can it get any worse? Ain't none of y'all ever said that before, have you? I caught myself saying it yesterday. Can anything else go wrong? All right. But I came to my senses quickly. And I thought, sure could. There's a whole lot that could go wrong. And I thought, God, I thank you that things are just as well as they are. Because they could be a lot worse. They could be a lot worse. I realized that it didn't matter what my circumstance was. It didn't matter, church. It doesn't matter how bad things have looked over the last couple of weeks, because I've had a lot of stressful things happen in my life the last couple of weeks. And I'm sure every one of us have. But I realize that there's one constant in my life, and that's Jesus Christ. He doesn't change, church. He's the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. He does not change. It doesn't matter what our circumstance is. It doesn't matter what our situation is. He's still the same. And that's important to remember. Yes, we can look at our circumstance and we can say, this ain't how I pictured it. This is not how I envisioned my life. Church, we can even look at it and say, this is not how they explained it to me. I thought that they said when I got saved, everything was going to be great. Right? Everything ain't always how we pictured it. It ain't always how we envisioned it. But the important thing to realize and to understand is it's not important how we envisioned it. What's important is how He envisioned it. Because He has a perfect plan for each and every one of us. He's established it. And yes, we may have to go through some rough times. And yes, we may face some situations where we look at it and say, how did I get here? And what did I do to deserve this? But we should never, ever forget that we're still His child. And that He loves us. And it doesn't matter what we're going through. He's there with us. He'll guide us. He'll lead us. He'll direct us. And He'll instruct us. He's our help, church. The Bible says He's our very present help in the time of trouble. He's whatever we need. Whenever we need it. He's there. Sometimes we're Not where we ought to be. Amen? When you find yourself in the place that you shouldn't be, and you open your eyes and you realize, why am I here? I shouldn't be here. Get out of there. Go back to the Father. Get back to where you started. Return to your first love. Because He's there for you. He's waiting for you. Just as the father with the prodigal son, it says that he sat there and waited and watched for his son's return. When you go astray and you find yourselves in places where you ought not to be, the Father is sitting there waiting for your return. Church, He hasn't gone anywhere. We're the ones that have gone astray. Get back to the Father. And realize if you're in a circumstance or you're in a situation where you had no control over, you didn't cause it, you didn't make it to happen, just be patient. Just be patient. God's got a plan, church. He's got a plan. That's your morning message. May God bless you and keep you, is our prayer.